Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
In June, the people of Great Britain will vote on whether the United Kingdom should stay in the European Union or whether they should Brexit. Last week, we heard from Chris Grayling, leader of the House of Commons, who wants the UK to leave the EU.
I don't want us to be part of the United States of Europe. We are a proud independent nation. I do not want us to give away control over how our nation is run. We've already given away too much of that control. I don't want to see more of that in the future. I think our future is as a proud independent nation.
Well, Mark Pritchard is a Conservative Member of Parliament who disagrees. He joins us from London. Welcome.
It's a pleasure.
And first of all, just make your case. Why do you think that the UK should stay in the EU?
Well, to be honest, I think if we knew in 1975, when we last had our referendum in the United Kingdom on the European question, if we knew then what we know today, then perhaps the United Kingdom would not have voted in favour of joining the European Union. But, you know, we are where we are. It is what it is. And whilst the European Union is imperfect, there are huge benefits both for the United Kingdom and for Europe as a whole from the UK's membership, not least economic benefits as a market of 500 million people. But as somebody who campaigned for the referendum, which I did, but the reason I think we needed a referendum is that the majority of people living today in the UK had never had a say on the European question. So I think we needed to be re-enfranchised on the European question, and this will give an opportunity to do that. And to be fair to David Cameron, the Prime Minister, he is giving more than any previous Prime Minister, including Margaret Thatcher, one, on giving a referendum on membership, and two, on having reformed key areas within his negotiations. Now, of course, people aren't happy with that. Some people would never be happy with that. And I have often said that if David Cameron came back from Brussels after the renegotiation and had parted the English Channel, it still would not have been enough for some people. I think there are some irreconcilables within the Conservative Party. And whilst the polls are neck and neck at the moment, I think 23% are still undecided. And I think, I may be wrong, of course, but I think when it comes down to it, people look at whether the United Kingdom is safer, more secure and more prosperous in a European Union, and they will decide that yes, it is, and therefore the country, I think, will on balance vote to remain in, albeit an imperfect institution.
But do you think it was a mistake to join? Based on what you said at the beginning of that answer, it sounds like you're saying maybe you shouldn't have joined in the first place, but you're stuck there now and might as well stay in.
Yeah, it did sound like that. Politics is about being pragmatic. We are where we are. And I think it's not just about the United Kingdom's national strategic interests. I think it's also about Europe as a whole. And what we don't want in this very dangerous world that we live in today, and indeed economically unstable world, what we don't want is more insecurity, more uncertainty. And I think the UK leaving the European Union would be bad for us and bad for the European Union. And, by the way, I believe it would be bad for the United States' medium-term strategic interests as well.
What about that issue, though, of sovereignty and what Chris Grayling was talking about, being a proud independent nation? Do you think that too much power has been given over to Europe by the UK being in the EU? And obviously, many of the people in the UK do believe that that has happened.
Well, I think you have to accept that if you join any international organization, whether it be the United Nations, whether it be NATO, whether it be the European Union, whether you're an ASEAN country and you join ASEAN, you will cede some sovereignty. Now, as an elected member of parliament who loves his country, is proud to be British, and wants the very best for my country, I accept that we will cede some sovereignty, but that doesn't mean I want to abandon our sovereignty as a nation. And I think we are stronger together. We are united as Europe, and as a result of that, we can deal with some of the major crises that the world is facing, whether it be on mass migration of people, whether it be on security threats, North Korea or in the Middle East. We are better together, and disunited, we are weaker. And this is a time where the world, with our values, international values of freedom of speech and free trade and trying to do the right thing, although sometimes we make mistakes, trying to do the right thing, we are better and stronger together.
What about on the issue of trade? Let's listen here to what Chris Grayling said when he spoke to us about that.
We cannot ourselves negotiate free trade agreements around the world. We have to leave it to the EU to do that for us. So, you know, with our oldest ally, United States, we cannot negotiate our own free trade agreements. We can't do it with countries in the Commonwealth. Those parts of the world where exciting economic developments are happening, we cannot move ourselves.
What do you say to that?
You know, we've got to accept that we are in a world of trading blocks, whether it be BRIC, whether it be NAFTA plus, whether it be ASEAN, whether it be the European Union and the Asia-Pacific Partnership. So we are in a world of trading blocks. And if you talk to the Commonwealth, what they want is a bilateral relationship, a trading agreement with the whole of the 28 members of the European Union. You can understand why. They want to deal with a trading block of 500 million people rather than 68. So I think it's Mr. Grayling is being optimistic in suggesting that perhaps we're going to all of a sudden have these bilateral agreements with a plethora of countries around the world. They are more interested in dealing in trading blocks, and the European Union is a successful trading bloc, albeit we're dealing with some issues in the Eurozone at the moment.
One of the issues that has come up, and especially for people who would like the UK to leave the EU, is that there's been such migration as a result of the UK being in the European Union, a lot of workers coming from other countries in Europe and moving to the UK, and it's changing the UK. It's making it a very different place. I have a good friend who lives outside of London who said, coming into central London these days, you feel like you're in the arrivals lounge at Heathrow because there are no Brits anywhere. It's all new arrivals. Are you worried about that at all?
Well, if you look at the data, that is not accurate. There are more Brits here than non-British nationals. But if you look at the meta-narrative is that our nation has come about as a result of migration of peoples over hundreds of years, not just over the last 2 or 3 years. That said, we recognize that people from within the European Union under the Free Movements Directive, they can come and work and live here. But we recognize that the majority of people coming here are coming to work. And as long as they come here to work, they pay their taxes, play by the rules, they are very, very welcome. And you mentioned your friend and the City of London. Can I just say that if we withdrew all the Hungarians, Bulgarians, Romanians, Polish, wherever they come from, French, from our restaurants, from our service sector, even in the banking sector in the City of London, but particularly in the leisure sector and tourism, I think London would grind to a halt. And the fact is there are some jobs, particularly in agriculture and fruit picking, and I represent an agricultural constituency, without some of the EU nationals coming to pick that fruit that lands on the plates of fancy restaurants in London or local restaurants. You know, agriculture would grind to a halt. Our service sector, our tourism would struggle greatly.
But you know that that's an attitude that's out there, that a lot of people feel that way.
Yeah, of course, it doesn't make it right. I mean, but their views are valid. It's right to recognize this concern, but it's also right to get more light than heat into the debate. And the majority of people coming here from the European Union are here to work, try and make a better life for themselves. I think what we have done as a Conservative government is we've cracked down on those abuses where people came here to live off the state, live off benefits, and were fast-tracked into taking public housing and so on and so forth. And people now will need to be here for a period of 4 years to make a contribution into the Exchequer before they get something out of it.
How big a deal is it that the Mayor of London has come out in favor of leaving the European Union?
Well, I was surprised that he took that decision, particularly that he is the Mayor of London, and we, you know, one of the biggest financial centres in the world. We'll have to wait and see whether his judgment was right.
But do you think that that's going to sway people's decision?
Look, London is a large city and the major commercial and cultural hub of the country, clearly by definition as the capital city. But, you know, we are a nation of 68 million people. There are differing views in different urban areas. And of course, we're still a large rural country as well. So the great thing about this referendum is that, you know, this isn't the politicians' referendum, whether it be Boris Johnson or Mark Pritchard. It is the people's referendum. And that's not just a soundbite. It's the first say that British people have been able to have since 1975. And, you know, if you sat around the kitchen table eating your breakfast cereal in the morning, one member of the family might want to vote to remain in, the other might want to come out of the European Union. But every vote matters and everybody's vote is valid.
As you know, you're speaking to a U.S. audience here, and I wonder, with President Obama's visit coming up, do you think he should weigh in on this or should he stay quiet about it?
Well, my own view, it's actually in America's national security interest for the United Kingdom to stay in the European Union. I wrote a piece for the Sunday Times on the 31st of January, which alluded to this, because if the UK were to leave the European Union, I think that would fundamentally weaken NATO. Why? Because we know that Germany and France want to fast-track their own EU defence structures. And at the moment, those EU defence structures, some of them are fine and some of them are good. But I think if the UK, oftentimes around the European decision-making tables with a voice of reason, and I think when you look at the voting of, for example, the Security Council at the UN over the last 70 years, you'll see it has been the Brits. It's been the Brits that have stood shoulder to shoulder mostly on American foreign policy and decision-making at the UN. And I think if the UK left, there'd be a move to replace the British seat on the UN Security Council, and there would be a move to have an European Union seat, which would in turn be dominated by France and Germany. That would mean that future decisions on major conflicts and wars where the America felt it's in their national interest to act, they could no longer look to Britain.
So should the president weigh in?
Well, I think he's already said that he thinks the United Kingdom is safer, more secure, more prosperous within the European Union. I agree with him.
That's Mark Pritchard, a Conservative Member of Parliament, joining us from London. Thank you so much.
Thank you.